This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. About a third of all the students in college today in this country are the first in their families to go beyond high school. And that can make the choice of where to go all the more difficult. It's a question of distance and cost, whether they'll graduate, and even how much they'll earn, assuming they do graduate. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports from the Education Desk at WYPR. A big chunk of top-notch high school students don't even consider applying to a top college simply because nobody has ever told them that they should. Here's Amy.
When George Alvarez was in high school and starting to apply to colleges, a top university like Johns Hopkins wasn't even on his radar.
I actually never heard about Johns Hopkins until my senior year when my history teacher told me to apply there.
George grew up on Long Island, the son of a housekeeper and a retired mechanic. He knew he wanted to be a doctor and was looking at a low-cost program nearby where he could earn a bachelor's degree and an MD in 7 years.
And my history teacher was like, you could go there, or you can go to Hopkins and experience college life and then apply to medical school.
So he applied to both schools and got into both. Hopkins, with its sticker price of more than $50,000 a year, turned out to be cheaper, with grants and scholarships just $5,000 a year. So he and his parents, immigrants from El Salvador whose own schooling stopped at sixth grade, headed for Baltimore to visit. It was George's first time out of New York.
The first thing I noticed is there were no metal detectors in the entrance, as they were in my high school.
That was 4 years ago. George is a senior now. I meet him at the university's plush new undergraduate teaching labs, where students lounge on rocking chairs and sip lattes in a glass atrium. Looking back, George says that first visit almost kept him away.
I was intimidated, especially once I was here, once I was immersed with my other classmates who I felt were better than me.
George had been a straight-A student at Uniondale High School. Even so, his guidance counselor advised him to pick the local program. It was competitive, but at a less selective school. She said Hopkins wouldn't be a good fit.
You're going to be alone. You're going to the dorm situation. The financial aid is only for a year. There were many reasons why I should not come to the school.
George thinks now that counselor was probably trying to protect him.
It's not at all unusual to have guidance counselors advise low-income students to go to the kinds of colleges where other low-income students go instead of going to the sort of colleges for which they are best prepared.
That's Caroline Hoxby, an economist at Stanford University. Her research on so-called undermatched students has shaken up the college admissions world this year. Hoxby says most low-income, high-achieving seniors don't even apply to the Harvards and McAllisters and UCLAs of the world, even though they tend to fare much better at places like those.
They're more likely to get good academic advice, to live in a housing situation where the other students are studying and are interested in staying in college. They're more likely to be in a cohort of students where everyone believes that they're going to complete on time.
And they're more likely to land better jobs with higher pay. Hoxby says if you're qualified to go to a top college and don't,
our minimum estimate is that you're giving up $500,000 over your lifetime in net present dollars. And that's our minimum estimate.
Hoxby says sometimes all it takes is the right information. She's been working with the College Board to send out customized packets to top low-income students, comparing financial aid and graduation rates at various colleges. Johns Hopkins is part of the effort. David Phillips is vice provost for admissions and financial aid. He says George's story of finding Hopkins is common.
That's almost an accident, right? A happy accident that he ran into the right teacher to steer him in the right direction. That too often is the case. And that's the great thing, one, about the research that's helping reach out to students in more systematic ways. And schools need to do that.
But of course, getting students to campus is just the beginning. For George, it was a rocky start. On his third chemistry exam, he got a 10 out of 76. That first year, he thought about quitting every night.
I thought this was too hard. I thought I'd be a happier person being back home in New York and not having to adjust to a completely different life.
His adjustment came thanks to another happy accident. Eventually, he found his way to the Office of Multicultural Affairs, where he met lots of other students from backgrounds like his. He's now a leader there.
Hi, everyone.
Come to this side. Come to this side.
Guys, don't be shy.
Come to this side.
On a recent night, George advised freshmen and sophomores at an event for underrepresented students thinking about medical careers.
I wish someone mentored me. I wish people could tell me you're going to be fine, that everyone who's told you that you can't make it is wrong, because you've made it already.
George is set to graduate in the spring with a degree in biophysics. He plans to take a year off and apply to med school. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.